Now I'll read today's Bible passage. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7 are the recitation verses. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children as well. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die.' He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, 'You are that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says.'" Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to worship you and sing songs of praise to you. Thank you so much for greatly blessing this church and the people who are attending here and providing the opportunity to share the gospel. Around us, Lord, we know there's not always fun things going on. Sometimes there are very tragic and disturbing things as well. And these things definitely impact our hearts, and we feel bad about the conflicts between various people groups around the world as we hear about them on the news. However, Lord, we know that we have Jesus and that you provide us with the way that is true. We know that you gave your life on the cross and that we have obtained eternal life through believing you. As Christians, we have the opportunity to be used in the various places you have us placed to be the fragrance of Christ, to focus not only on ourselves, but to look to the people around us and to be good testimony of your truth and love. Please watch over Pastor Joey Anjiki as he speaks this morning. With gratitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be looking over a word of God from the word that was read just a moment ago. Just a while ago, there was a social phenomenon that went on, a cartoon by the name of Oshinoko, and the music group called YOASOBI in Japan sang their theme song, and this became a huge hit. This animation film actually became a drama and a movie as well. The content of the story is about this idol by the name of Ai, and all of a sudden she was stabbed by a fan, and her children actually entered into the entertainment industry. It's kind of like a suspense story, but in the different types of movies and traumas that were made, you can learn more about the content of it. You can see how actually the entertainment industry bad side of it is portrayed in this. And I'm not going to tell you exactly everything that happened because that'll ruin it for you if you haven't seen it yet. But there's One aspect I do want to tell you about, because there's this person who uses mind control manipulation to entice somebody to commit murder. But he was doing it through a form of mind control so that he himself couldn't be arrested because he didn't murder anyone, but he enabled or caused someone else to commit murder because he couldn't be convicted as being guilty. He was let off the hook. This story kind of reminds me of the story of David that we read about today. David was committed adultery, and then to try to hide the evidence by having Joab sent to the front line to be killed. So he didn't do anything with his own hands, but he actually committed a hideous crime. He therefore looked kind of like a generous king, taking in this poor widow who had lost her husband in the war. And in this way, he kind of camouflaged his situation. David figured that, he would be able to get away with what he had done and he would have peace restored to himself. However, at the end of chapter 11, it ended with the following words. However, what David did not please the Lord. God sent Nathan, a prophet, to talk to David and convict him of this. Today, we're reading about that in the passage that was read a moment ago. We're looking at this not as a point of judgment against David, but aligning the character of David with our own selves and what we do in our lives. Today's title is, I Am That Man, and we have three main points we'll be looking at today. The first point is concerning how Nathan is talking to David, and we're looking at the nature of our sin. The Lord sent Nathan, a prophet, to talk to David. And Nathan was a friend of David. And Nathan at this time used a parable to talk to David to allow him to realize and denounce his sin. Why is it that Nathan used this parable about a shepherd? Well, you might remember what work David originally had when he was younger. He was a shepherd, and so he understands the shepherd's perspective, and he would be able to follow the parable very easily. Nathan tried to show David in a very easy-to-understand manner his sin. Nathan started by saying, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. So here David is reflecting on what it would have been like when he was raising a sheep when he was little. But it wasn't this nice man that was reflecting David's character, but rather the rich one. Continues by saying, now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle and prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. Here you can see how Nathan is reflecting how David took the one wife of Uriah. And Nathan was making this clear that this had actually happened and asking David to pronounce judgment on it. So David, raging in response, says in verse 5, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity. David said that this man must die. But according to Moses' law, if someone stole an animal from someone else, they wouldn't face the death penalty. Instead, he was just so upset about this that he took it to a further degree. He said he'd have to pay four times over. And that actually was according to Moses' law. In Exodus 22, verse 1, it reflects that, and so David did understand the law correctly. But this is the extent that David was angry and didn't even realize that he was actually the subject of it. He was just objectively listening to the story and reacting in response to that. We can see how the sin nature that we have reflects in us in that way. We look at things through our own eyes and for our own benefits. And even if we make a mistake, we just give ourselves grace and we just let ourselves off the hook. In Genesis, after committing sin, Adam responded in the following way. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and he repented. Actually, how he responded by saying that the woman you put here with me, she's the one who gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. So Adam was actually blaming God for what had happened. In our homes and circumstances as well, we face similar things. For example, if there is a cup that has water on it and we knock it off and it falls, we just blame the person who put the cup there in the first place rather than ourselves for being the one that spilled it. And then, you know, it like almost hits your computer and you're like blaming somebody else. And then if, for example, your throat is a little sore, you start blaming other people for that. Or if you miss the wrong turn on the road, you blame the navigation system. And I'm just thinking of examples from my own life this past week. But we just naturally focus on ourselves when we filter information in our lives. And even when we make big mistakes, that's the same way we approach things usually. We blame our husbands or our wives, and we blame them for terrible things we do. Or, for example, when we use the company's things without permission, we just blame them for not paying us enough money. Even stalkers blame the people they stalk, saying that they were the ones that caused them to stalk them. So this is the type of situation that David was facing today. It was Bathsheba's fault that she was in the right spot at the wrong time. And it was Uriah's fault that he didn't go in to be with her when David called him off the battlefield. It's possible that Uriah could have just, you know, died on his own without David doing anything. So basically, David was just justifying everything that he did that was wrong, looking at it from his own perspective. David, who we really look up to in various other passages, in this passage is not someone we look up to. He's the one who originally stood up to Goliath. And he was the one who also did amazing work on the Bethel River. However, he was swallowed up in the flow of sin here. And it really shows how powerful sin can be. When we think about this, we can see that it isn't just David who is being bad, but all of us who have this sin characteristic have the same capability of doing terrible things. We all have this spark of sin, as David did, and just depending on the circumstances, we too are capable, unfortunately, of doing terrible things. In the Second World War, Nazi Germany was led by Hitler, and there were 6 million Jews slaughtered in the Holocaust. One of Hitler's bodyguards and strong supporter was Adolf Eichmann, and he went to Argentina and was put on trial. The trial was projected around the world, and he repeatedly stated, "I haven't done anything wrong. I only did what the person above me told me to do." He was focused sinfully just on his own perspective. There was a woman who watched this court trial, and her name was Hannah Arendt. She was one who escaped the concentration camp and went in exile to the United States. As she watched the court trial, she reflected on how such a terrible thing could have happened in Germany and did some analysis on it. In 1963, in the New Yorker, she publicized a report on the cliches of Eichmann's evil. This actually brought up a lot of controversy because she said that Eichmann is portrayed as a monster, but actually that isn't the case. He was rather just a bureaucrat with a lack of sense. He did what was a normal human would have done in such circumstances. And so she didn't say that the Nazis were at fault, but rather looking at it from a perspective of sin. She was looking at the concept of sin in all of our hearts and the power that it has. Eichmann's trial was spent around the world, and it impacted a movie maker who said the following about it. His name is Leo Fulmitz. He said that people are not monsters, but they have a monster type of aspect in their hearts, and they have to be responsible for any wickedness they commit. We too have the same potential as Eichmann did for committing crimes. We too have such possibility. From David's story today, we realize that the same spark of sin exists in our hearts as it did in him. At this time, Nathan talked to David, who still didn't realize that he was the one and he was giving the parable about. He told him, "You are that man." And then David finally realized the same statement can be made about us. The sin that we commit will at one point in time all come to light. Even if we're able to hide things when we're here on earth, in the end, it will all be held right in front of God. The Bible states that the wages of sin is death. And because of sin, our relationship with God is broken. We can't just go to heaven automatically. That's what the Bible teaches. However, we do have hope. And that is through the salvation that Jesus gave us on the cross. The second point today is salvation that is offered to us. Nathan told David of his sin. And how is it that David responded? In verse 13, it states that David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." So David did break down. He could have just killed off Nathan and had all of that hidden as well, but he didn't. He allowed his heart to be broken with the truth. And then Nathan followed up by saying, once again, that the Lord has taken away your sin and you are not going to die. One amazing or surprising thing about this is that God just immediately forgave David right then. He God was obviously waiting for David to confess and ask for forgiveness. God gave him opportunity to do so, and David did. And this is the same situation that is true for all of us. From David's parable, we can see how this shepherd had his little lamb killed. And over 1,000 years later, God had his own son, the Lamb of God, we see, killed on the cross for us. That forgiveness for sin is all completed, and it is available to all of us. What do we need to do? We only need to recognize our sin and the need for salvation. Paul says the following in 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible states that Jesus has died for ourselves and that he was resurrected on the third day. The Bible states that anyone who believes in Jesus' death and resurrection can have eternal life. They can be saved and have all of their sin forgiven. In this way, they can be with God forever, and they can start enjoying that here on earth. That is the gospel. That form of grace is given out to us. And God is always willing to forgive us if we will align our hearts with His. If anyone here has not received the present of salvation, I encourage you today to receive that grace. Let's look at the final point today. The statement that I am that man. In today's passage, we have learned from David and learning a new perspective on the cross and Jesus Christ. Uriah, who was sinless in that aspect, was killed by David, and we can reflect on that from our own perspective. Jesus, who really actually was the only sinless person, took all of our sin upon himself. When we take one more step closer to the cross, we can realize this in a deeper way. Jesus took all of our sin upon himself. And in the same way, we can rephrase that by saying that our sin put Jesus on the cross. In today's passage, David was hearing a parable about a shepherd and didn't notice it at first. And he at first said that that man should be put to death. When we hear of the gospel and hear of the Pharisees and the scribes and Pilate putting Jesus on the cross, we think, oh, these people should have been put to death. But when we reflect on Nathan's words, we can have them resonate in our heart, realizing that we are the people that put Jesus there. There is a famous person by the name of Genzo Mizuno, and he wrote a lot of poems. He wrote this one that states, I was there. An English translation is, amongst the people who demanded Jesus of Nazareth to be crucified, the people who allowed it, and the people who executed it, amongst them, I am. When Genzo read about the gospel, he realized that he, too, was one who is full of sin, and because of that, he, too, is responsible for the death of Jesus on the cross. Our sin, my sin, your sin, that is what put Jesus on the cross. When you read the gospel, you realize that this sneering and cursing of Jesus on the cross and telling Jesus that if you are the Son of God, you can get down from the cross. Prove it. Prove that you're the Son of God. we can reflect on that and realize that Jesus, of course, he could have gotten down off the cross. He was God. But he set aside his personal desire and decided to stay on the cross to complete the way of salvation for us. In this way, God loved us so much that he gave his son for us. He loves us, such sinners, that much. We can remember about God's love through this story. When we read about the people who put Jesus on the cross, we can realize that that actually is reflecting on us, ourselves. And in that way, we can actually have a deeper understanding and appreciation for the gospel in light of that. From David's repentance here, we can learn and see just what amazing grace it is that God bestows upon us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today we've looked at the instant where David repented. And we can see in ourselves the same weakness that David had. We can see this spark of sin that exists in all of our hearts as well. Through today's passage, we're able to see how when David repented, that immediately God forgave him. We can see that you desire the salvation of all people and that the gift of salvation is a present that is available to anyone and everyone. You gave your life on the cross through Jesus Christ, and that is just how much you love us. We see how Uriah, who wasn't at fault, took a penalty in the same way that Jesus did for our sin. We can appreciate the cross in a deeper way because of this. We can see how you forgive and love us, such sinful people. And we thank you for this love and grace that you give us. In this coming week, Lord, we ask that in the various places you have us, that we can walk in a manner that is appreciative of your love. Please, Lord, provide us with guidance. We thank you and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you in this coming week and forevermore. Amen.